only football.
The only football is the one kicked by an actual foot and is the most popular sport in the world. He shrugs.
You mean soccer?
Don't call it that in my presence. Disgusting. He chuckles, the sound echoing around us with rare ease, and I can't resist smiling. I woke up this morning thinking my life would be flipped upside down because I missed the most important part of my routine. But it's not as apocalyptic as I thought it'd be. If anything, I like the easy conversation we have.
Seriously, though, do you really like lacrosse?
He insists. I wouldn't play it if I didn't. Though the actual reason is that it's the only sport Lan didn't play. We used to play polo together when we were growing up, but I distanced myself from that and him as soon as I hit puberty. I needed to play something he had no interest in. Football, cricket, and my beloved polo were out. Rugby is too physical for my taste, so that left me with lacrosse. But I don't say that out loud. I can't have Nikolai sensing my inferiority complex and thinking I'm less perfect. He's watching me with those intense eyes, and I don't like it. I need to change the subject so the focus is on him. Hey, Nikolai.
Yeah?
If you could be anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Inside you, baby.
I nearly choke on my tea. I'm serious.
I'm also serious. I take Kolya's demands to heart, thank you very much.
Lifting the cup to my mouth, I pause before I take a sip. You said you always top. Did you ever consider bottoming?
Why?
He raises a brow.
You want to fuck me?
I can feel the heat rising to my cheeks, and I gulp the tea trapped in my mouth. That's not what I meant. I was just asking.
I don't like it, but I'd let you if you wanted to try it out.
But you just said you don't like it.
I'd rather let you fuck me than you running off to experiment with someone else.
My lips part. Wow. He'd really go that far for me. I don't think about it as I stand up, close the distance between us, and stop between his parted thighs. My fingers sneak beneath his jaw, and I look down at his beautiful eyes. I don't want to fuck you, but thank you for offering. Really. His hands land on my hips.
Tell me if you feel like it. Don't suppress it just because you know I'm not a fan.
You don't have to worry about that. I really prefer being fucked by you. I like the feeling of, letting go and losing control.
You sure?
Positive. He tucks me forward, and I release a startled noise when I land on his lap. My hands grab his shoulders for balance. What are you doing?
I lied. I don't only want a morning kiss.
His lips ghost over mine.
I need a morning fuck as well.
This man will fucking destroy me. I just hope I don't destroy him in the process.
25. Nikolai. Not to be a stalker, but I kind of ended up at the grocery store brand frequents. What? It's his fault that I miss him as soon as we're apart. It's the afternoon, and guess what? He's coming over to the penthouse this early. It's been about a week since he agreed to stay overnight, and I've been the happiest fucking man alive. Not that I'm still thinking about that night and morning or anything. Anyway, the reason I'm outside this local organic grocery store is because of a conversation I had with him about half an hour ago when I was in class.
Bran, what are you in the mood for tonight?
Me? What kind of question is that? I'm always in the mood to do dirty things to you, baby.
I meant food. Food.
You mean aside from your cum?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, aside from that.
I'm happy with anything you cook.
You sure? If you fancy something to eat, tell me. I'll go grocery shopping in a bit.
Nah, I love anything you cook. Do what you want. Also, you're getting groceries right now? It's the afternoon.
I finished classes early, so I'm heading to the penthouse.
Hell yeah, I'm on my way.
Don't you have uni?
Not important.
Don't skip classes, Nikolai. I'll see you later.
So yeah, I totally skipped classes. I actually left that class while reading his last text and rode my bike all the way here. I left it at a local parking lot and followed him around on foot. He can't possibly expect me to stay away when he's going to the penthouse this early. It's true that I last saw him this morning, but I've been going through withdrawals. My mood is dangerously dependent on him, and that's not even funny anymore. But I'm done trying to figure it out. I'm just obsessed with this man and everything about him. Some would argue it's something a lot more dire than obsession. He consumes me, but he also grounds me. I've never felt as mentally strong as when I'm with him. Even the most mundane things we do together, having meals, watching movies, listening to him read the boring morning newspapers, bring a huge smile to my face. Brandon King is ravaging me alive, and I can't wait until I'm fully inside him. In the meantime, I'm content with indulging in my stalkerish tendencies. I wait by the corner of the grocery store. I'd love to go inside, but it's one of those small shops where I'd totally stand out. And while I don't mind, he would. My lotus flower fits right in with the locals. I catch a glimpse of him putting a few tomatoes in his basket while smiling at something the shop owner says. Now, she's an older woman, but not that old. Maybe in her 30s, and I don't like the whole interaction. Lady better stop giving him hard eyes if she's in the mood to live another day. I'm about to creep up into her field of vision and scare the bejesus out of her when I catch a peculiar view from off to the side. Since Brand turned me into a professional stalker, I always pick the best spots to watch him up close and personal. And for that reason, these locations are rather obscure. I often run into all sorts of bizarre views, including couples, druggies, and homeless people. This one, however, is different. Usually the couples who lurk in corners are doing some heavy petting, if not actual sex. The current scene is nowhere near that image. A larger guy shoves another one against the wall with a tight grip on his t-shirt's collar and I hear, "Shut the fuck up!" Any other time I'd ignore this and change my position to continue stalking my Bran. Something stops me though. The guy who's been shoved against the wall is familiar. Wait, is that Gaz? I ask, walking toward them. Sure enough, my cousin looks up, his fist clenched in the other man's shirt. An older man, at least early to mid-30s, who's dressed in a white button-up shirt, black slacks, and leather shoes. His dark hair is slicked back and his expression is solemn. He looks at me with complete disregard, as if I just intruded on his fun. I flex my fist and make sure he sees it. This fucker will be buried 6 feet under before he attempts to harm my cousin. "What's your name, motherfucker? And what's your favorite way to die?" "Nico, it's not..." Gareth trails off on a wince when the asshole tightens his grip on his shirt. "Step the fuck away from him," I stride toward them. "Now!" "Who the fuck are you?" the man asks, his accent distinctively American, his expression entirely murderous. I'm going to break his face for daring to touch my family. "My cousin, Nikolai," Gareth shoves him away. "Please leave, sir." "Sir," I echo. "Why the fuck are you calling him sir?" "He's my professor, Caden Lockwood." Gareth stands beside me, his expression closed off as he stares at the man. He narrows his eyes on me before he looks my cousin up and down. "We are not done, Carson. I expect you in my office tomorrow morning." As he walks away, a wave of tension rolls off Gareth before he puffs out a long exhale. I stand in front of him. "Why the fuck would your professor corner you in an alley?" He glances up, his green eyes large and his blonde hair sticking to his temples with sweat. "We had a slight disagreement." "And he couldn't solve it in the classroom like all other professors?" I pulled something outside of law school and he was pissed. "That still doesn't give him the right to attack you. Want me, Jer, and Kill to add him to the MIA list?" No, that's not necessary. I can take care of this situation." "Didn't look like you were doing a very good job at it." "Kill and I will maim the fucker." "Nico, no." He grabs my arm. "Don't tell Kill. Don't tell anyone about what you just saw." "Why not?" "Fuck me." I pause. Is this that man you told me about that time? The only one you're attracted to? Gareth's lips part. No. You just stuttered. You never stutter. Just forget it. Since when are you this perceptive? Since now. It's him, isn't it? No, he says, with more force than needed. In that case, I guess I can discuss this further with Kill and Jer and see if it's true or false. Nikolai! Or you can just tell me. Fine. It's him. He looks more relieved than burdened as he puffs out the words. I relate to him in more ways than one. I know what it's like to be in a secret relationship where no one is allowed to know. It's suffocating sometimes, but it's worth it. And from the look in Gareth's eyes, I think he feels the same as I do. It's not ideal, but like me, he wouldn't have it any other way. A much older professor, huh? I grin. You're much more adventurous than I thought, cousin. I'm actually impressed. It's nothing serious, so don't tell anyone. You sure about that? Yeah. I grab him by the shoulder. Want me to continue my lesson about butt stuff? No thanks. He pushes me away. I'm going for a walk. He storms away before I can question him some more. I consider following him, but immediately shut down that idea when I see Bran walking out of the store carrying a few bags. Forget about Gareth. He can survive. I, on the other hand, need to recharge by strangling my lotus flower. I stay a safe distance behind him as he walks by the small stores in the town center. He's dressed in dark pants and a light green shirt, and his eyes are covered with elegant sunglasses. I can't wait to unwrap him later. He stops by a pastry shop, and I grin when he buys a box of macarons. Bran then proceeds to walk in the direction of the penthouse. Despite having a car, he doesn't usually drive it and prefers to use his legs whenever possible. It's about a half-hour walk from town, but I'm not complaining. I love watching him from afar and seeing how he stops and plays with dogs or checks in on the elderly people he does volunteer work for. He's such a golden boy, at least on the outside. I'm actually proud that I'm the only one who knows how much of a control freak he is. Instead of going down the main street, Bran takes a secondary route, and I follow, frowning. Does he have someone to visit around here? He stops near an alley and turns around so suddenly I don't have time to hide. Bran removes his sunglasses and hangs them on the opening of his shirt. He gives me a once-over, his gaze lingering on where my biceps meet my t-shirt, and I can't help flexing them. I really, really love it when he checks me out. That way, I can take some comfort in knowing he wants me. Not to the point of my utter obsession with him, but I do often catch him looking at me lately. The other day, he was tidying up the bathroom while I was soaking in the jacuzzi, but then I caught him ogling me as his shorts tented. He didn't agree to join me in the bathtub, so what did I do? The most logical thing, of course, I bent him over the counter and fucked him as he brought the house down with his moans and groans. He's so loud, I love it. I love that he lets go when around me. Now, he releases a long breath.
You need to quit the habit of stalking me.
I thought I was being subtle.
Subtle? I could sense your eyes digging a hole in the back of my head.
More accurately, your ass, baby.
You're not even going to offer an excuse.
Do I need to? I'm a simple man. I missed you, so I came to see you.
We were together this morning.
I need a dose of you at all times. A pink hue covers his cheeks and he clears his throat.
Don't you have school?
As I said, not important. You can't expect me to picture you walking around the house while I'm not there. I grab the heaviest looking bags. I'll carry these. Go first.
We can walk together. This area is usually deserted this time of day.
Really? I grin, gluing myself to his side.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
Of course I want to. He steps away, keeping a short distance between us, but I don't focus on that and choose to watch his small smile and the way his face radiates under the rare sun. His eyes shine a bright blue color, and some of his hair looks lighter. Christ, how can a man be so fucking beautiful? The urge to kidnap him and keep him all to myself beats like a need beneath my skin. I've given up thinking this is only a phase that will go away, or that there will be a day when I'll see Bran and not have this queasy feeling in my chest. I'm so screwed. Bran clears his throat.
Stop looking at me like that.
Like what?
That, whatever that is.
Don't think I can, baby. I have no self-control when it comes to you. He swallows, and I can't help watching the up and down of his Adam's apple. Fuck! I flex my hand around the bag to stop myself from hauling him over and kissing the fuck out of his full lips.
Does that mean you have self-control when it comes to everything else?
He asks, and his slightly husky voice does nothing to disperse Kolya's attempt to rise to life. Yeah.
So all the rumors about your penchant for violence are incorrect?
They are correct. I love beating things and people up, but I have enough agency to stop. Can't do that with you. It's impossible.
So I'm more important than violence?
Fuck yeah. He smiles a little.
Good.
You like torturing me?
It's only fair.
What is that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
We spend the rest of the way in comfortable silence, and I find myself reveling in every moment I spend in public with him. I never liked silence, and wasn't really given the choice considering how loud my brain is. Even with Bran, I often filled up any silence with gibberish. Admittedly, I talk too much. He doesn't. My Bran is one of those people who don't talk unless he has something meaningful to say, and I grew accustomed to his brand of comforting silence. It's not tension-filled or brimming with unsaid words. It's peaceful, relaxing, and fulfilling in its own right. It's his way of soaking up the moment, as he told me once, and I'm strangely picking up the habit. I'd love to thread my fingers through his, but that's not an option right now. One day, I'll be able to hold his hand on the street. One day. When we're inside the penthouse, I hurry to put the bags on the kitchen table so I can devour him. If I just drop them at the entrance, he'll start nagging. The sound of something hitting the floor reaches me first, then a strong grip lands on my bicep. I whirl around, but I don't have time to focus when Bran fists a hand in my hair and captures my lips in a violent kiss. His tongue invades my mouth, and he feasts on me. I'm stunned for a second, but then I wrap my arms around his back and claim what's fucking mine. My hand falls to his ass, and I nudge him up. He doesn't complain as he hops on and wraps his legs around my waist. God fucking damn it. I love it when he lets me carry him. I've been doing it religiously since I first did it last week. Bran kisses me for what seems like hours, his fingers stroking my hair, his breaths and his entire fucking being fusing with mine. He pulls away and smiles against my mouth, then wipes something at the corner of my lips. Fuck, baby. What was that for?
I've wanted to do that since I saw you.
He strokes my cheek.
Let me down. I'll wash up and prepare dinner.
No way in fuck am I letting you go after that. Buckle up, baby. Kolya would like to say hi. I walk him to the bedroom as his laugh echoes in the air. One day, and I mean very, very soon, Bran won't be content with only kissing me behind closed doors. He'll be proud about being with me, just like I'm over the moon about being with him. What the? I pause when I feel a weight on my shoulder and comforting warmth snuggled up to my side. The last thing I remember is sitting on the floor with my back against the wall while waiting for Bran. He said he was running late because he was meeting up with his brother and sister, and you can bet that I grumbled and threw a fit about having to share him with anyone. So what if they're his siblings? It's getting tragic at this point. It's been a week since the day he kissed me senseless after I stalked him, then fucked him like a madman, before allowing him to do anything. Good times. Since then, I've been shamelessly insatiable for any glimpse of him. I need to see him every night, but even that isn't enough, so I follow him around whenever I get the chance. But I had to keep a distance. Not too difficult considering I've become a seasoned stalker at this point. Anyway, I haven't seen him at all today because of stupid tests that I couldn't skip and was fucking desperate for 10 p.m. to come since that's when he usually shows up. However, my hopes got crushed when I received the text about his plans. I must have fallen asleep on the floor because right now I'm on my back on the wood and Bran's head rests on my shoulder, his body pressed up to my side. And the best part? His hand covers mine over my chest. He's in a light blue shirt and black pants, which means he didn't change into pajamas. I check my watch, and it's 2 a.m. Fuck me. I can't believe I slept for so long and missed the chance to see my Bran. I demand a redo, now, and fucking thank you. A frown appears between his brows and I smooth it with my index finger. His eyes pop open and I have to swallow something stuck in my throat because, fuck. How can a man look hotter with each passing day? This isn't good for my uncontainable obsession. Did I wake you up?
It wasn't a good sleep, anyway.
He grumbles in that husky voice that goes straight to my dick and somewhere in my chest. Baby, why are you sleeping on the floor?
You were sprawled all over the ground when I came in, and I wanted to experience it like you do. See if it's as comfortable as you make it look. The answer is a definite no.
He sits up and kneads his shoulders and neck.
Don't do this again, Nikolai. It's not good for you in the long run.
I can only sleep in a bed when you're there. I sit behind him, extending my legs on either side of him and massage his shoulders. Be here, and I won't have to sleep on the floor.
Deal.
He leans into my touch and releases a soft sigh. I'm ravenous for the way he lets me touch him outside of sex now. I know he wasn't comfortable about the prospect in the beginning, but he now does it so naturally that I have to stop myself from devouring him whole and leaving no crumbs. How the hell is he able to get me worked up with a few sounds? How did he mold the almighty Nikolai Sokolov into this strange entity that can only survive in his presence? I don't even remember myself before him anymore. I certainly refuse the very notion of being separated from him. How was your night out? I ask to put an end to this queasy feeling.
One can't complain.
So you enjoyed your time while I was being miserable?
Oh, you're so dramatic. Besides, I thought you'd be busy with your shenanigans in the fight club.
I didn't go. I wanted to see you.
Is that so?
He says in a slightly mocking tone. What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
He turns sideways so he's facing me and raises a brow.
Have you done something I don't approve of today?
Me? You're the one who ghosted me.
Earlier today, did you or did you not take a picture with some leggy brunette?
No. Why would I do that? He reaches into his pocket, pulls out his phone, and opens my IG in the tagged posts section and shows me the picture in question. A girl that I honest to fuck don't remember her name is glued to my side, pushing her tits up against my arm. The caption is, "Miss you, my hunk."
Care to explain yourself?
Bran asks in an eerily calm tone. I've noticed that he becomes scarily collected when he's mad. Baby. That picture is months old, probably from before I met you. Not my fault she decided to post it today.
One of your fuck buddies?
Ex-fuck buddy. I barely remember her face. She's from school, I think.
And yet she has the liberty to call you her hunk.
I grin. Jealous, baby? He doesn't smile back as he fists my hair in a painful grip.
You belong to me, Nikolai. I do not share. Are we clear?
Fuck. I love it when you get all possessive.
That's not an answer. I don't want to see you with girls or guys hanging onto your arm or sitting on your lap. I don't want anyone to touch you. Period.
Only if you don't let anyone touch you.
I won't.
Are you going to delete that one picture with Clara on your IG?
You went that far back.
So what if I did? I'm going to need you to erase her existence from your life.
I've already deleted that post a long time ago.
In that case, grinning, I take out my phone, go to the post, and type a comment. Nah, not your hunk. Delete this. A smug smile curves Bran's lips when he sees it, and he nods with approval before he turns away, and I resume massaging his shoulders. Fuck me, I love the feel of his relaxing muscles beneath my fingers and the content noises he releases. By the way, I googled the meaning of Brandon, and it literally means prince or king. Don't I get brownie points for calling you Prince Charming?
More like stalkerish tendencies points. Who googles the meaning of other people's names?
I do, because it's you. I'm curious about everything that concerns you. He leans his head on my shoulder, and my movements come to a halt when his eyes meet mine, and he flashes me a little smile. That feeling lurking in my stomach lurches up, and I feel trapped, completely and utterly taken by him and his rare smiles. Jesus fucking Christ, what's happening to me? Aren't you curious about me? My voice comes low, a bit vulnerable, and I don't even do that. Why is it that Bran looks at me and I feel this sense of doubt? Not in me, but in his feelings for me. I can sense myself falling deeper and harder, but he's still a blank board most of the time, and that does shit to me.
I am.
Are you going to Google the meaning of my name?
No need. It's the Slavic version of Nicholas, who was the Greek god of victory.
I didn't know that.
Seriously?
Yeah, I just know it's a badass Russian name and means victory or something like that.
Do you speak Russian?
Sure as fuck. My granddad made sure my sisters and I do, or else he wouldn't have given us our Russian card.
I never heard you speak it.
I do sometimes with Jeremy, and especially the guards since most of them are Russian-born.
Tell me something in Russian.
I cup his chin and stare deep into those eyes that have become my undoing, as I say the words Grandpa said Russians take seriously and literally. Я не так обеспечен.
What does that mean?
You're so cute. I lie through my teeth. He frowns.
Don't call me that.
I wrap my arm around his waist, trapping him in my grip. Tell me something you noticed about me no one else knows.
What type of request is that?
Just do it. He lifts a hand and traces a line from my forehead over my nose.
Not sure if no one else knows this, but you have a perfectly symmetrical face. Most people have an eye or ear that's slightly bigger than the other. They have a good side because it's proportionally better than the opposite one. But you look perfect from any side, because everything is well balanced. Even your upper and lower lip are the same size. Actually, your entire body is perfectly symmetrical.
He strokes his fingers over my lips, and they willingly part. Goddamn. He says a few words that imply he's been watching me, and I feel like I'm being torn apart.
You're an artist's dream muse.
Then make me yours.
Maybe you already are.
Fuck yeah. That's a good thing, right?
Maybe.
He continues stroking my face.
Your turn.
My turn to what?
Tell me something you noticed about me no one else knows.
You have 11 moles on your body.
Okay.
I'm not done. You have 217 lashes on your right eye and 212 lashes on your left one. His lips part.
You counted them?
Almost every night since you stayed over. That's last night's count. Might change today. You tend to lose some on your left eye.
But why would you count my lashes?
I love them. They're dark and long and so fucking pretty when you're sleeping. Besides, no one but me can count them, so that's a huge bonus. He chuckles softly, the sound echoing around us like a lullaby.
You're so weird.
I've always been.
That you have.
The only difference is that you're not running away anymore.
No, I'm not.
He leans completely against my chest and closes his eyes.
Give me 5 and then I'm taking you to bed. From now on, you're not allowed to sleep on the floor anymore.
I have no words to say, so I lower my head and capture his lips in a slow kiss. That queasy feeling only gets more intense the longer my mouth ravages his. My insides melt when he meets me stroke for stroke, grunt for grunt. If I wasn't sure before, I am now. I'm completely and irrevocably in trouble because of Brandon King. 26. Nikolai. 3 weeks pass by in bliss. And by bliss, I mean the most erotic, beautiful fuckfest. Just kidding. I love the fucking. I really, really do. Ask Kolya, and he'll be giving a standing ovation. But Bran and I have always had the fucking at the center of what we are. It's why he even gave in to me in the first place. Give yourself a pat on the crown for being a motherfucking elite seducer, Kolya. However, that's not the only strong element in our relationship anymore. Something changed after the first time he stayed over. Although I was the one who put forth that condition, I think he felt a sense of relief that I was forcing him to stop running. I could be imagining it, or deep into my delusions, but he really has this peaceful expression when I fall asleep strangling him, or when he wakes up, stroking my jaw. Oh, I actually sleep on a bed now. Shocker, I know. It's like the 8th world wonder and one of those mysterious breaks in history. I'm sure my previous useless therapists would have a field day with the causes. I'm a simple man. I smell Bran and feel his hard muscles molded to mine, and I'm a goner. It's blasphemy to expect me to sleep separate from him when he's lying there like a beautiful prince. He might attempt to push me away or pretend that I'm annoying and crushing him. But here's the thing. Whenever I pull away from him in my sleep, I wake up to find his head on my chest and his arm wrapped around my middle. Or he'll press his chest to my back, throw his arm on my waist, and bury his face in my hair. He's so fucking cute. I always want to swallow him whole. And I do. Often. I usually wake him up with my lips around his cock, or my cock nudging inside him. He picked up on it and started trying to wake up before me just so he can suck me off first thing in the morning. It's not a competition I'm complaining about. In fact, I love how he gets that smug look on his face while giving me the sloppiest of sloppy blowjobs. Over the past few weeks, Bran has become a bit more comfortable touching me, and I don't always have to initiate sex anymore. If he's in the mood, he definitely makes it known either by attacking me as soon as I walk inside the apartment or with his constant texts that mimic my clingy nature. He can also be surprisingly possessive, though not as unhinged as I am since I literally threaten to break the arm of anyone who touches him. The other day, I ran into Simon at one of the coffee shops and he started being touchy as usual before I pushed him away. Turns out, Bran saw it and sent me this gem of a text.
You better remember who the fuck you belong to, Nikolai.
Did I print that text and frame it? Possibly. I fucking love that he's been more forward lately. Not to the point of talking to me in public, God forbid anyone knows about us, but he's getting there. I don't mind much. I love that I'm his secret. I love that he's aloof and in complete control when in public, but he falls apart on my tongue, fingers, and cock in private. I love that he steals glances at me when everyone is looking, then whispers how much he needs me to fuck the daylights out of him when it's only the two of us. He's mine, and that's all that matters. I'm the only one who knows he's a noisy motherfucker during sex, and that's all I care about. Still, I make sure to decorate his skin with hickeys so others know he's owned. I take my time turning them deep purple until he's whining and add new ones every night. The earful he gives me afterward is worth it. There'll be a day when he'll come out. I know it. I feel it in his eyes when we're in public. I see it in his body language when he angles himself in my direction as if he wants to walk to me, hug me, and kiss me. He stops himself every time, but that's looking more painful for him lately. He'll break one day, and I'll be there to pick him up with open arms and an open mouth. I'm wearing him down, and he's totally falling for me. Okay, I'm being delusional again. While he doesn't actually love me, he cares. Sometimes more than necessary. So here's the thing. Bran despises the fights and makes that known every time as he patches me up and puts ointment on the bruises. He also hates how chaotically beautiful I am, though he probably wouldn't call it that. He can't stop nagging about all the shit I leave lying around or the dishes in the bathroom. What? I had a snack while soaking in the jacuzzi, or whenever I shake my wet head. I only do that so he'll dry it for me. Some would argue I also fight, so he'll be so adorably worried about me. Most importantly, he replies to my ridiculous texts that go the line of me. Did you know there are like so many Greek gods?
Bran, is that so?
Yeah. How am I supposed to keep up? Why are there so many?
How dare they?
Right. Speak some sense into them, especially that dick Zeus. He needs to stop having so many children and raping women left and right. Father of gods, my ass.
I'll have a very stern conversation with him.
Do you really think of me as him? I'm wounded.
My sincerest apologies. It was bad form to even make that comparison.
You're going to have to repeat that apology with your lips wrapped around Kolya. You know, since he's sulking and shit.
You could have said you wanted me to suck your cock instead of starting a whole drama.
No, it's not about that. Kolya is really hurt.
I'll make it up to you.
Now?
I seriously can't with you.
Is that a yes?
See you in an hour.
I jump down through the ropes after I've pummeled someone to near death, ignoring all the screams and the roaring crowd as I drink from a bottle of water Jeremy passes me. You okay? He asks. I pour water on my head and shake it, then smile, imagining Brand pinching the bridge of his nose and saying,
I seriously can't with you.
Nico, Jeremy watches me closely. Don't tell me you're thinking about another fight. Nope, one is enough. I shove the bottle against his chest. Laters, Jer. Wait. He falls in step beside me as we walk down the tunnel and throws an arm over my shoulder. What's up with you lately? You barely come back to the mansion, and you're acting suspicious. Busy. With what? Or more accurately, with whom? I pause, coming to a stop in front of the locker room, then face Jer. He's my best friend, and usually I'd tell him all about the fuckfests and the weird adventures. Even though he couldn't care less for the details, he listens without judging, except for telling me that I'm crazy sometimes, which is true. The point is, I'm starting to feel a little bit restless about this secret. I love having Bran all to myself, but I don't like that no one knows. Sometimes, Kill looks at me weird as if he's figured everything out, but he always has that psycho look, and I definitely don't trust him not to broadcast everything to the world if I tell him anything. If there's anyone I can trust with my secrets, it's Jeremy. I was 14 when I realized I really loved both dick and pussy. That young, yep. Jeremy is straighter than straight, no doubt about that, and he's 5 years older, but I always bugged him. Everywhere he went, I was there, annoying the fuck out of him with my antics until he liked me. It's my modus operandi, deal with it. Anyway, he's the first one I told that I thought I liked both girls and guys, and he wasn't surprised. Let's just say he and Dad understood Kolya before I came to terms with his moody prick era. Jer kept it a secret for like a year, until my parents found out, and I held a coming out orgy party. Jeremy definitely left that one as early as he possibly could. Kill? Stayed. So the thing is, he's like secret keeping 101. I stroke my necklace and narrow my eyes on him. How do you know it's someone who's keeping me busy? This smiling at your phone like an idiot more often than not. Also, he taps his nape. You usually have a hickey here. You can't see it, but whenever you pull your hair up, it's visible. I touch the back of my neck. That sly fucking bastard. He's been leaving hickeys all this time, and here I thought he just loved kissing me there. Jer, what? I can't take this. He's so fucking adorable. For leaving a hickey? For staking a claim and being sneaky about it while complaining that I leave too many. Okay, he says slowly. It's a guy? Ah, fuck. I didn't plan to disclose the gender. But hey, as long as he doesn't know the name, all is good. No one would suspect it's Bran. He's such an uptight dickhead, and anyone with two brain cells would think I'm nowhere near his type. I nod with a grin. The most beautiful guy ever. You like him? Sure as fuck. How much do you like him? Enough to be exclusive. Wow, a first. I know, right? I'm all for monogamy now. And you still haven't introduced him to me? He raises an eyebrow. And here I thought I was your bro. Well, thing is, he's still all chained in the closet and shit, so that's a no for now. I won't tell. I didn't when you wanted to keep your sexuality a secret. This is different. I was never ashamed of my sexuality. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't an experimentation phase before telling my family. Bran seems to struggle with how much he loves sucking dick and being fucked in the ass. Like he really, really gets all panicky whenever we're close in public, or when I go to watch his games and try to see him after. So I stopped that altogether so as not to stress him out. I'm not sure why he's so scared about admitting it out loud. I wonder if it has to do with his long showers and the damn locked bathroom door. Sometimes I catch him looking at his feet, completely zoned out, until it turns a bit freaky. Other times, he'll have these random nicks of the razor against his neck, and even his thighs and balls. He shaves down there, of course. He's so groomed and loves being spotless. He also started shaving my face for me because apparently I don't do it well enough. It feels so fucking hot whenever he sits on the counter and traps me between his muscular thighs to shave my face. He's never cut me, not once, but he seems clumsy with himself. I bought him a new electric shaver that doesn't cause cuts, but he says he prefers the razor. It's starting to give me the creeps for real whenever he has those, as small as they are. Jeremy watches me for a beat, arms crossed and brow furrowed. You okay with that? With what? Being in the closet with him. You already came out, so you're under no obligation to be shoved in the dark with him. He'll come out one day. And you're happy to wait, as long as it takes? If it's him, yeah, I guess. Okay. He clutches my shoulders. I just want you to know that you deserve to be loved in the light, Nico, just like everyone else. Pfft, he doesn't love me. I don't like this guy. Jeremy narrows his eyes. You're being exclusive for the first time in your life and keeping it a secret for his sake, and he doesn't love you? What is he, an idiot? Hey, don't call him that. You're defending him? Wow. Where's my brutish friend Nico, and what have you done to him? I'm a changed man, Jer, I grin. Gotta go. Don't tell anyone. Do you have to go? I thought we were discussing how to bring Landon down after everything he's done. I wince. So I might have been the one who delayed the heathen's plans to take vengeance against Landon King. I have to do it, and I will, because he's a motherfucker. But I can't help thinking about Bran's reaction. All this time, I'd hoped they were enemies, and while they don't hang out much, they text each other all the fucking time. Or more like Landon checks on Bran in an erotic fashion, and my lotus flower gets this little smile on his lips whenever he reads his asshole brother's texts. He said they're different, but they're twins, and that's a bond for life. I suppose he wouldn't appreciate me punching his brother into an early grave, even if he deserves it. Just plan it out. And let me know, I tell Jer. I have more important shit to do. Baby, I'm home. Did that sound so domesticated? Well, I do think of the penthouse as home now, which is weird. Bran also texted, I'll see you at home earlier today, so at least I'm not the only one thinking it. I remove my t-shirt and toss it on the floor. Then, thinking about the assholes nagging, I pick it up and dunk it on the chair. Not ideal, but it's a compromise. My brow furrows when I don't find him in the kitchen, busy being a Mary Sue. He's so anal about the meals he makes. Bran is the type of cook who'll go out at ungodly hours just to have his perfect ingredients. He's an excellent cook. I just wish he'd cut himself some slack. And not only about cooking, but also lacrosse, his gazillion charitable activities, and painting. He's meticulous about everything. And he's so ridiculously hard on himself. It's starting to raise red flags. No one should be that perfect and think they're not. Literally no one. Sometimes I doubt that he even likes his body, because he's so quick about putting on clothes the moment we're not fucking. It's as if he doesn't like looking at those gorgeous, perfectly toned muscles. It's impossible to see him half naked. The guys at the heathens often parade half naked after showers or around the pool. Bran isn't a fan of swimming, probably because he has to dress down for it. I wish he'd talk to me more. While we often have conversations during breakfast or dinner, there's a pattern I've noticed. Whenever I ask something about him, he subtly turns the conversation so it's about me instead. He loves asking me questions about my parents, my siblings, my life in NYC, and even my role in the Heathens. Whenever I talk, he always listens with keen interest. However, when I try to get to know him, he's like a blank slate. He prefers talking about his friends and asshole brother instead of himself, which is annoying, to say the least. It's strange that he's not in the kitchen. Is he not here yet? I narrow my eyes. He said he was playing stupid video games with Mia earlier, so he better not have lost track of time. And no, I'm not jealous of my baby sister. Much. I head to the guest room down the hall that he turned into a mini art studio. He said that since he's spending more time here than at the elite's mansion, he can at least be productive and work on his art. And seriously, that's one of the best decisions he's ever made. I love sneakily watching him being all concentrated as he does these bold strokes of color. I don't understand them, but they look pretty, and most importantly, he looks hot as fuck when he's in the zone. He has this picturesque mountain painting that he's been working on, but he doesn't look pleased in the least when he does. I open the door, ready to jump him from behind and attack his ticklish sides until he bursts out laughing. The sound is so rare that I can't resist any chance to make it happen. Usually, he laughs or smiles effortlessly whenever I'm telling him about my past adventures in school or with Mom and Dad, so I need to narrate more of those tonight. I even called Mom to ask about any shenanigans I might not remember. My hand falls from the knob when I find him standing in the center of the room, in front of a canvas full of chaotic black strokes. His palette is on the floor, smudged in black as if he poured it out to murder all the other colors. Splashes of black stain his feet and his khaki pants and even his usually spotless white shirt. This isn't like him. Bran is so organized and despises the idea of chaos, so to see him standing in the middle of it is not normal. I slowly approach him and catch a glimpse of him staring at the canvas with a blank face. His hand pulls at the back of his hair so harshly his nape is red and his knuckles are white. Lotus flower? I call, but he doesn't make any sign of acknowledging my existence. So I move in front of him, blocking his view of the canvas. He looks straight through me, as if his body is here but his soul is floating somewhere else. I reach for his hand and pause when I feel how stiff he is, as if he's hardening his body against a threat. What the fuck is messing with you, Bran? I have to apply pressure to peel his fingers from his hair one by one. My chest squeezes when I see brown strands in his hand. Brandon? I circle his nape, stroking the spot he abused. Baby, look at me. My lips brush against his and they twitch. When I pull back, I find him watching me with bemused, lost eyes.
Nikolai? When did you get here?
Just now, I lie, my fingers still caressing his nape. You okay?
I'm fine.
You don't look fine. Your skin is pale and you're standing in the middle of a mess. He looks at his surroundings as if he's seeing it all for the first time. Little by little, light blooms back behind his irises, and he winces.
Bloody hell. Sorry.
Stop fucking apologizing, I breathe harshly, watching him closely, trying to find a trace of the zombie version from a moment ago.
Sorry. Sorry. Jesus. You should go. I'll clean up.
He starts to move, casting his gaze anywhere but at me. My hold tightens on his nape, and I clutch his jaw with my free hand so he'll look at me. What happened? An unnatural shine covers his eyes, and it's so similar to when he becomes panicked after I touch him in a semi-public space.
It was an accident.
It doesn't look like an accident.
I just dropped it. It's nothing.
He pulls away from me and grabs the palette, then carefully places it on a few tissues on his sketching table. For a few seconds he remains there, hand gripping the edge of the table, and his back crowding with tension as if he's fighting his demons and shoving them back to where no one can see them. When he turns around, he seems more like himself, and this time he looks at me, like really looks at me, and instantly his lips purse with disapproval.
Were you fighting again?
I make an affirmative sound, not bothering to use my state as an excuse for him to touch me. There's something wrong with him, and the more he hides it, the clearer I see it. But if I ask him about it outright, he'll just deflect and retreat behind his high walls. Or worse, he'll revert back to his old habits and run away. But I can't take this anymore. I can't watch him break in silence and do nothing. Brand glides wet wipes over his hands, cleaning away the black paint, then walks to me, clutches me by the jaw, and rotates my head from left to right.
You seriously need to stop fighting. One day you'll really get hurt. You're not immortal.
He presses his finger against a bruise on my jaw and I wince.
Does it hurt?
He asks with a note of concern that he obviously doesn't have for himself. If I say yes, will you kiss it better?
I give up.
He releases me with a sigh.
I'll go get the first aid kit.
I'll do it myself. I need a bath anyway. I walk to the entrance and glance back. Bran watches me with a wretched expression. His body is angled my way like every time we're in public, and then he opens his mouth, but just like all those times, he closes it again. You have something to tell me, baby. I expect something, anything, but he shakes his head.
I will clean up and fix dinner.
I say nothing as I storm out and into the bathroom. I should be used to his methods at this point, but I don't like it. The whole fucking thing is making my skin crawl. I sit in the jacuzzi for what seems like forever, but it must be like half an hour. The bubbles echo around me, but there's nothing relaxing about them, so I turn them off to think in silence. My mind fills with thoughts about the reason behind Brand's state from earlier, but no matter how much I think about it, I come up empty. With a sigh, I lean back and grab my phone from the side of the tub and check my texts, mostly from the group chat with the guys. Killian. Where are you, Nico? Jeremy. He's busy, let him be. Gareth. Nico busy? And you're not there to keep him in check? Jeremy. Let's say he doesn't need my services with his recent endeavors. Killian. It's the ED situation, isn't it? Gareth. Kill the fuck? He'll just flood the group chat with dick pics. Me. Kolya says hi, motherfuckers. I send one just to fuck with them. The door opens and I look up to find Bran standing in the entrance. He's changed into flannel pajama pants and a white t-shirt, looking like a Christmas present.
I wanted to make sure you weren't meditating in the water.
I'm not. I close my eyes and lean my head against the cushion. No idea why, but I'm mad. It's not the first time he's hid himself from me, but I've never seen him in that state either. The fact that he refuses to let me in, even though I'm a damn open book, is messing with my fucking head. I really, really hate fucking complicated. Movement echoes around me and I remain still, vehement about trying to ignore him for once. The splashing of water forces me to open my eyes just in time to see Bran climbing into the bath, entirely naked. What are you doing?
You always ask me to join you. Is it different this time?
He asks, even as he sits down and stretches his legs out on either side of me. Do what you want. I try to sound unaffected, which is hard when he looks so stunningly beautiful. At this point, it's safe to say I've learned every ridge of his muscles and where his moles are. Upper left shoulder, above his right hip, behind his right knee, on his left knee, and just beneath his jaw. Not that I'm obsessive or anything. He nudges my thigh with his foot.
Are you mad at me or something?
What gave you that idea?
You're not jumping my bones, for one.
He smiles, but it's forced.
Are you losing interest?
Are you?
No.
He's silent for a second.
What's this about? Is it because I told you to stop fighting?
I won't do that.
I can tell.
As soon as your cousin Creighton comes back to school, I'll bloody his face. Not because of what happened to me, but because he dared to punch you that day. I'll also fight your precious psycho brother and beat him to a fucking pulp, so you better mentally prepare yourself. He gulps, his throat bobbing up and down.
Don't do that. Please.
What are you willing to do to stop me?
What do you want?
Tell me what happened when I got here, and don't say it was an accident or it was nothing, because I don't buy that bullshit. His face pales, and he goes still, his chest rising and falling in a fast rhythm before he breathes slower.
It's really nothing.
We're done here. Get the fuck out and leave me alone. Brand's lips part as he blinks at me, so no, I've never really spoken to him in that tone. I always clown around when he's his grumpy, uptight self, but I'm just sick of this. I can't help thinking about what Jeremy said, and it's messing with my head.
Nikolai.
Water splashes as he scoots over so that he's kneeling between my legs and then wraps his arms around my neck. I meet his wide blue eyes, and for the first time, I don't soften at the mere view of his face or the heat radiating from his body. For the first time, I don't melt into a puddle just because he's saying my name or touching me. Get out. He shakes his head and tightens his grip.
I'm sorry.
Why the fuck do you keep apologizing as a knee-jerk reaction? It's fucking pathetic. He flinches and drops his arms to either side of him.
I'll just leave.
Go right ahead. Run away like you do best.
What the hell do you expect from me? I try to make it up to you and you lash out. I've done nothing to be spoken to in that tone.
Nothing? You're literally hiding me away like I'm your dirty fucking secret. Like you're ashamed of being with me in front of your precious friends and family. And on top of that, you're concealing yourself from me. You call that fucking nothing?
You said you were okay with it.
Maybe I'm not anymore. His lips tremble.
Are you leaving me again?
You'd love that, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't love it!
His voice rises and his hand shakes as he looks at me with eyes so fucking sad it pulls on the heart I'm supposed to be hardening.
Don't leave me.
Then give me something, anything. I won't be kept outside your walls. That's not how this fucking works.
Why would you want to learn about me?
He pulls on his hair, fingers tugging until his face is all red.
Just why?
I get on my knees and shove his hand away. Stop hurting yourself, or I swear to fuck. My words are cut off when I catch a glimpse of a band-aid beneath his thick watch that he always has on, even when he sleeps. He said it was a gift from his mom and holds sentimental value, and I figured he's a mama's boy who loves having a memory of her at all times. Right now, however, I realize how naive I've been. I clutch his wrist and his eyes grow in size as I start to remove it. Brand goes ballistic and tries to wrench his wrist free. He even punches me in the chest and tries to kick me, but he doesn't have a chance. He might be an athlete, but I'm much bigger than him. I shove him against the side of the tub, my knees on either side of his thighs, caging him in place as I snatch his wrist.
Don't, Nikolai! Don't!
He speaks in a tone I've never heard before, all broken and full of panic, before he whispers,
"Please, I beg you, don't see that part of me."
I keep my eyes on his lost ones as I tug the watch free, sending it flying across the floor. Sure enough, there's a band-aid around his wrist.
"Please."
He begs again, his hand in mine trembling, curling, flexing, twisting away.
"Please."
I rip it off in one go and all air whooshes out of my fucking lungs. The skin is red over a cut that slashes through the line in his wrist. A few other older cuts line his skin, horizontal to the first, methodically put so they're never wide enough to exceed the strap of his precious watch. His hand goes limp in my grip and I stare at his face. Only he's looking down at the water, his head bowed, his shoulders defeated. Jesus fucking Christ. All my anger disappears. On its behalf, a loathsome feeling rips through me like wildfire. Fucking fear. Those nicks of the razor were not a coincidence. They were a sign. What's the meaning of this? I ask in a voice I don't recognize. Fucking look at me, Brandon. He slowly raises his head, his lips trembling. You cut yourself? My words are low, but they're so loud in the silence. Why?
Because I'm fucked up.
His voice sounds like death's lullaby, anguished and shattered.
Because I look at myself in the mirror and get the urge to shatter it to pieces. Because I've been haunted by the bitter taste of nausea and self-loathing for so long, I don't know how to live without them. I was doing fine, pretending and putting on a facade, so why the fuck did you ruin that? Why did you come into my life and destroy every wall I built and ruin every lie I told myself? Why do you touch me like I'm beautiful? Why don't you hate me when I can't stand my fucking self?
I can't hate you, baby. It's impossible. I lift his wrist up and brush my lips at the edge of the cut. A whimper falls from his mouth, and he throws himself at me. I stagger, but he keeps me in place by wrapping his arms around me. His fingers dig into my skin, and it hurts as he squeezes me against him. His trembling body fuses to mine, and he breathes harshly into my neck. Baby, you okay?
Please.
His voice is muffled.
Please let me hold you like this. It doesn't hurt when you touch me.
I grab onto him, pressing him further into me, harder, closer, until I'm not sure where I end and he begins. Seems that Bran runs way deeper than I thought, but as he hangs onto me as if I'm his only anchor, I know that I'll never let him go. Not even if I burn with him, for him, in him. I'd willingly catch fire if he so much as asked me to.
27. Brandon.
It doesn't even make sense.
I nod along, although I have no clue what Cecily and Glynn are talking about. I agreed to meet them for afternoon tea out of habit, and I regretted the decision almost immediately. My head is a fucking mess, and I'm barely functioning. I can't muster the energy to put on a facade, let alone fake my smiles properly.
Don't you think so, Bran?
I lift my head from my cup of tea and stare at Ceci.
About the fact that Ava is up to no good. She's making a lot more trouble lately and keeps going to all these fights.
You know how she is, I say, tracing the rim of my cup. Just give her space and she'll come around. Besides, judging by what I witnessed the other day when she pretended to come see me, I'm exceptionally aware of what's going on between her and my unruly eldest cousin. In fact, at this point, everyone but her knows what's up. Her inability to submit to reality, or at least acknowledge it, is possibly why she's been spiraling out of control. I tried advising her, but she's too hot-headed to listen and prefers indulging in Lan's plots of mayhem that target Eli. My brother's aim is entirely to egg Eli on and have fun. But she's digging her own grave. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, I have no clue.
I'm worried, though,
Cecily says with a frown.
Me too.
Glynn stuffs her face with the macaron, and my chest twists into a knot. I can't help recalling the sweet-toothed monster who's always stealing from any box of pastries I bring. He hasn't touched any lately, though. My heart aches and I clear my throat, but it does nothing to alleviate the lump stuck in there. It's been a week since the day I had a breakdown and nearly splintered to pieces. But I didn't, because Nikolai held me through.